Please pray for me. I ask you to turn to Luke chapter number 23. I do desire your prayers. I am just awfully, awfully weak. And I say this a lot. I really don't know how long I'll preach today, but I want to try to stand on a little thought in Luke chapter 23 and really 24, but we're going to start with 23. Luke chapter number 23, starting with verse number 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. They believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering at himself at that which was come to pass. I've thought about this, and again, I desire your prayers. But last Sunday we talked about the birth, and we went through that in Christmas week, and about the birth of the coming of the Son of God, and how that the fullness of time had came, and I'm thankful for the birth. I'm thankful for God becoming a man. I'm thankful for that part of the plan of salvation that he promised should come, and he was born of a virgin and all of that. And I'm thankful for the life that he lived, but I'm most thankful for what we just read about. And I know it's not Easter and all of that, but it's a good time at any time to reflect on things. I've thought about this week as we saw things happening around us in Nashville, and a bombing and different things, I'm fairly certain that judgment is soon coming upon planet Earth. In other words, I'm fairly certain by the Scripture and by the eternal Word of God that there will judgment be coming soon upon this earth and upon the inhabitants of this earth. And I can say that because even as we talked about the children last Sunday night and how they are such a joy to us, but they are living in such a different age. And I noticed even this week that even things you better watch, Cartoon Network and things like that, they are trying to indoctrinate these children into different things. I saw something that they had put out, and it talked about the proper pronouns that you should use, he and her, and some of them were they,
thing. I don't know about you, but I'm not a they, I'm a he and a him, and that's the way God made me. But there are things that are taking place that lets me for certain know there are things that the Apostle Paul wrote unto Timothy that we ought to be mindful and we ought to watch for about things concerning the last days. There are things that John saw exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and I really didn't expect to get into that, but that's all right. There are things that John saw. The revelation is the unveiling. It's the apocalypse. It's the unfolding of what is yet to come on planet Earth. And my friend, you look around today. There are people in the highest forms of governments across this earth that are as anti-Christ as they can possibly be. We see it. We see this last COVID bill they put together, and I got news for you that most there are some good ones. I won't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but these men that sit in Congress and women, they set themselves like they're gods, and they're not really concerned about me or you. They draw their money and their check, and they set up there as King Set, and they give money like it's going out of style to other countries and for gender studies. And I got news for you. There are two genders, a man and a woman. You can study it to the day that you die, and that's all you'll ever come up with. But we're living in a day that the world will not accept that. We're living in a time that it's been turned upside down on its head. I told somebody here a while back about 6 or 8 years ago in CERN, Switzerland, these scientists begin to dig into the earth and they begin to study and they found things and they couldn't explain it. And I'll get to that in a minute, but they said, we don't know what this is. It was an antimatter. And they said, we have found, and now listen, they said, we found portals and doors that we think go to other dimensions, and we don't know what's beyond those doors, but we want to try to open them. You might say, preacher, I've never heard of such. Listen, it don't matter what you believe about that or what I believe about that. It's what they believe about that. They said there's doors that we want to open. I'm not so certain that they didn't open up something. I'm telling you right now today, there are demons and devils and doctrines of devils like you would not believe on this earth. They are everywhere and all about us today. They are in every school. They're probably in every church nearly. They're probably in every home just surrounding that place. You listen to me right well. That's how the devil works. That's how he operates. Paul said, be mindful of his devices. What in the world's that got to do with this? We're living in a time that men's hearts are failing them for fear. We're living coming down, I believe, dovetailing down to the very end. And the Bible says that there is a day of judgment that's going to come upon every man, upon every woman, boy, and girl. It's a day, the Bible says, that God has appointed that day, and that the world shall be judged by that man whom he hath ordained. Who is that man that he hath ordained? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that man, that mediator between God and man. That's the one that'll judge you. When the Lord Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross of Calvary, God right then withdrew judgment. He poured out his judgment upon his own son. But then he said, the Lord Jesus said, all judgment is now given unto me. He is the judge. He's the one that you're going to stand before one day. In other words, the Father has now committed all judgment unto His Son. Your relationship with God has everything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can have a good and honest and right relationship with God is by and through His only begotten Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the day has been appointed. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about God saying, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I thought as Brother Mike was teaching that, I'm glad one night he had mercy upon me. How we sang a song at Sunday school and it said he left the 90 and the 9 and he came and he got me. I'm glad of that night. And we sang another song at Sunday school that said Satan has tried to make me doubt it. Listen, that's his job. That's his work. What I read to you there, that was the time of despair. Oh, the disciples, they had saw the bloody frame of their Lord and Savior carried down from the cross. They had saw a Roman soldier pierce his side to make sure he was dead, and blood and water came out. They saw Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus take the body of the Lord and Savior and wrap it in linen and carry it off to a garden tomb. I mean, their hope was dead. He was the one they had traveled with for 3 years. He was the one that changed everything. He was the one that told them and opened up unto them who the Father was and who He was. He was the one that Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, they had seen Him raise the dead, and the one that they had put all of their hope and all of their trust and all of their hope in, He was now dead and He was buried, and there was no way that they were ever going to see Him alive again. And the Bible says that they went fishing and, done other things. But there was a lady named Mary Magdalene. And if you turn over to John's account in the 20th chapter or so of John, you'll find that she went to the tomb first thing. I mean, she was one that the Bible said He had cast 7 demons out of. I mean, she was the one. She was one of the women. Most people don't know this, I guess. But there were women that followed with the disciples, and they followed Him alone. And she was one of those women. He was the only one that ever gave her life hope. The only one who ever gave her life meaning. So as soon as the Sabbath day was over, the Bible said she took spices, her and some women, and they went to the tomb. They went there to find the body. They went there and knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ was dead. They went there knowing but they still loved Him. They wanted to do something for Him. Whatever it was that they might be able to do, they were going to anoint His body, His broken body, with spices, anointment. And the Bible said when she got there to the tomb, that a stone that they had sealed it had been rolled away. In other words, the stone that they had sealed the tomb was gone, and the Bible said that there were 2 angels that sat there, one at the head and one at the feet. But in John's account, you find that she talked to what she thought was a gardener, and she said, just tell me where you have taken my Lord. In other words, I want you to understand that she thought she would find a body, but even in that body, she still said, He is my Lord. Tell me where you've taken my Lord, and I'll take care of it from there. In other words, she was heartbroken, expecting to find a body now. And now He was gone, you see. But those 2 angels that sat there, one at the head of where the body was, and one at the feet, and they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? I don't know about you. I'm glad I serve a risen Savior today. I'm glad, thank God, hallelujah, that they didn't find the body. But my friend, the Bible said, they went back and told the disciples, and the Bible said that they seemed to them just as idle tales. But I want you to understand, your relationship with God is all about an empty tomb. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ bleeding and dying, giving His lifeblood. And then it's about Him rising from the dead. That's where our sins have been set apart. That's where the Bible says that by the resurrection He rose from the dead, and now we're justified freely. But I want to talk just a second, and I won't be long, about that unbelief. Now I'm afraid that we... Listen, somebody please don't misunderstand me. It takes a heart that's been broken It takes a broken heart and a contrite spirit. But I'm afraid that we as Baptists have concentrated so much maybe on that part that maybe we fail to mention that it's the faith. That's what'll save a sinner. It's faith. That's what'll do it. You can repent till the end of time, and without faith, you'll die lost without God. These disciples, they thought that surely those devils that had fled Mary Magdalene, surely they've made their way back. But she said that, "I've saw the Lord," she told John and Peter, and they ran together, the Bible said, and they got to the tomb and they ran in and they saw His linen clothes. They saw, in other words, there was evidence that He had been there, but that He was not there anymore. And no doubt they searched and they searched, but the Bible said that, "Remember what He said to you in Galilee, that how the Son of Man must be crucified and then raised from the dead, and He will meet you." And no doubt joy and mixed with doubt begin to fill their heart. And now that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, as what we talked about a little in Sunday school, how that the Bible said when Jesus told Nicodemus that came to Him at night, He said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus was trying to work all of that out in his head. But then He said, "Whosoever believeth in Me shall never die, or whosoever believeth in Me shall have everlasting life." And listen to me this morning. That ought to be a great comfort to some of you. You see, I believe there are people in this life that have been saved by grace, but they don't have that assurance. There are times that I've tried God. There are times that I've went to God. There are times that I've went to Him and I begin to ask Him, "Lord, I remember a time and a place where I began to pray and call upon God." I can remember a night I went to an altar and said I got saved, but I didn't. And I knew that I didn't, but I told him I did. And I can remember telling a friend of mine, "Hey, he wanted to be saved." And I said, "It ain't nothing to it. I'll go with you to the altar in the next revival." And so sure enough, the next revival came and he did go to the altar. And I sat there. But as I sat there, my heart began to break. As I sat there, I realized I was a lost and guilty sinner. And I went and cried out and I begged and pleaded with God. And I thought, I can remember just being there, bowed at the altar for who knows how long, and I can remember almost feeling disappointed. I didn't feel a need to pray anymore, and I was disappointed. I wanted to be saved. But when I stood up, it was when I stood up, I guess I came to the end of myself and realized there's nothing more than I can do. I've repented all I can repent. And when I stood up, there was a spirit that began to set me on fire. There was something that came inside of me, and all of a sudden, and that disappointment was gone. But you see, the devil, as he does, will cause a man maybe over time. And so I've to doubt things. And that's what he did, those disciples. They knew. They said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." They knew exactly who he was. But see, Satan will work on a man. He'll get you thinking about yourself and what you've done instead about what he done for you. And so that's how he causes doubt. And so I've been in times and I've cried out unto God, "God, I've got to know. I've got to understand. Hey, is what I got real? Did that really happen like I think it did? Is what happened to me that night, is it real?" And you know what he's done to me? He's chastised me. He said, "Has it not been good enough for you down through the years? Have I not left you a witness down through the years?" How that there's been times the Holy Ghost will come upon your heart and your soul, and you see, you don't always feel that bubbling joy over. You don't always feel. I got news for you. If you're here today and maybe doubting or whatever that it might be, thinking, "I don't feel in the Spirit all the time," let me set the record straight now. There are the few times that you do. Most of this life, and most of this life, at least for me, is just a constant battle and a constant struggle. But there are times that you do. The witness. And I thought, I'm glad I've got a witness. I'm glad there's peace in my heart. That'll never go away. But there's witnesses at times that'll just bubble over. And so God has chastised me before and said, "Is what I've given you not been good enough down through the years? Has what I've given you not been good enough? And I begin to say unto him, yea, Lord, it's been good to live with. It's been good to live with. And it's been good at the time I thought I was dying to die with. It's good enough for me. But I think what he told those disciples, listen, I'm trying to help maybe somebody here today. He said in John chapter number 6, whosoever, he was telling him, I am the bread of life. And he said, whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. That's where faith comes in. The times that you don't feel bubbling over, it's a way of faith. It's a walk of faith that the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead. Even those disciples begin to doubt. Her words seemed to them just like idle tales. But he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And my friend, God would not lie to you if there's ever been a time in life that you can ever remember peace and joy coming into your heart. If there's ever been a time that you have repented from your heart. And my friend, God will grant repentance unto a lost sinner. And He'll grant faith unto a lost sinner that you can believe. You see, man's nature, just by our nature, we run contrary to that. We wouldn't dare come to that on our own. We wouldn't dare believe that a man could die and then raise from the dead. It goes against every bit of science and every bit of biology that we've ever been taught. But the Spirit of the living God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will cause a sinner to be brokenhearted and to repent and then to believe on His Son. Amen. Your relationship with God the Father has everything to do with your relationship with His Son and whether or not you believe. Now I said, we as Baptists, we don't want to be called Roman Road Baptists. And I'm not saying it's an easy way. That's what I told my friend. It's easy. You just got to go. Well, it wasn't as easy like that, like I thought. Because I didn't know about it then. I was still lost. But my friend, what I said, there is a part of that that is true. There is a part of that. I don't want to say it's an easy way today, but I'm afraid that some people have made it too hard. You see, when you take away that belief, you take away, that's not my words, that's the words of the Son of God, that He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and whosoever believeth in me shall never die. You see, we get so accustomed to saying, we don't want to preach an easy way. I'm not preaching an easy way this morning, but I am preaching a heartfelt way, and I'm trying to help somebody here. Maybe you've repented, and maybe you have believed. And my friend, there comes a time you just have to take God at His word. There comes a time Satan will never let you do it. He'll never let you do it. He'll work on your flesh. He'll get you concentrating on your repentance. Well, you didn't feel as brokenhearted as you should. You didn't feel as joyous as you should. You didn't do this like you should. And He'll get your focus on you instead of the resurrected Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And my friend, that's how He goes. That's how He deceives. That's how He goes about. That's how He convinces people that they're lost, and then they stay in that condition. Listen, I'm trying to help you today. Preacher, you can't help me. I'm trying to, because I've been there in my life, and those scriptures have been a comfort to me that I say, well, now wait just a minute. In Deuteronomy it says that God is not a man that He should lie. I thought about the old Shunammite woman that Elisha went to, and she said, I want a son. And he said, thou shalt have a son at this time next year. And she said, go, you lie to me. Don't lie to me. And God will never lie to you. You see, He won't do it. He won't do it. And Elisha, he said, I'm not lying to you. About this time, she knew it was impossible. Abraham knew it was impossible for him to have a son at the age of 99. And Sarah at the age of 90. He knew that was impossible. It could not be done. Yet the Bible says, against hope, he believed in hope. And he believed in God. And God accounted it unto him for righteousness. And he became the father of the faithful. You see, there comes a time when I've told the devil and God and whosoever would listen that I'll go to hell if the blood won't save me. I'll just have to go to hell, but I'll leave out of this world believing in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John said, that's why I wrote this epistle, that whosoever will believe that he said, did you know these things to be true? And he said, he that testifies of these things is true and was an eyewitness. He said that knowing these things, that you might believe on the name of Jesus Christ and know that he is the Son of God and have everlasting life. Listen, we don't want to be called an easy way. And I understand all of that. But there comes a time, you just have to take him at his word when he said, whosoever will believe in me shall never die. Have you believed? Has there been a time? Has there been a place? Has there ever been something? You see, God will not lie to you. And so I've tried it, and he's rebuked me. And there are times, I don't care to tell you, there are times even now, Satan will assault my faith. He'll assault me. You've never been saved, never been called to preach. And you know what? I'll say to Satan, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, there comes a time when Mary was talked to by Gabriel. You know what the Bible said? Gabriel said, blessed art thou among women. He said that the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. And the thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And you know what she said? She said, the Bible said, she received his word. You can find in the Bible, there's a man in Tompkinsville that's been on the altar 30 or 40 years, most of my life, he's been on the altar. I don't doubt that he's seeking and sincere, but maybe he's already been saved. You see, some of you, maybe you've already been saved. I wouldn't try to deceive you for anything in this world. But you show me anywhere in the Bible that a man is on the altar for years. And yeah, I'm not saying to give up. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm saying if you follow at the day of Pentecost, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, what must we do and to be saved? And Peter said, just repent and believe. And they gladly received his word and were baptized. Listen, there are times that you follow along in the book of Acts and you'll find that they just received his word. You'll have to at some point take the word of God for what it says. If you ever want to be happy, maybe you've been saved. I wouldn't try to deceive you. But I'll say this, God wouldn't lie to you about it. He wouldn't lie to you about it. And there are times, preacher, what are you talking about? I mean, I told you, I know I'm repeating myself, bear with me. There are times I've called out to him, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I've just got to know for sure, is it really real? And the Spirit will be there. And my friend, and he'll tell me, I wouldn't lie to you. What he done for me that night, he didn't lie to me about it. When I lay down at night, I've got a peace in my heart. This life is not peaceful. There's a part of it that, for the believer that is, but this life is a struggle. This life, I've got to the point at times, I always wondered how people could get to the place where you could really truly pray the last part of the book of Revelation where it says, even so come, Lord Jesus. I got news for you. There have been times and lately that I've prayed that, just come and take us out of here. There are times that the cross does get heavy. Now, there are times that maybe your faith and your fear will collide. There are times that it's hard. There are times, but we sang a song a while ago about the fire. It's never went out, you see. What the Spirit is, It's God, the Spirit. But being in the Spirit, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He that hath the Spirit hath life. That doesn't always mean Satan can use the Scripture against you. You be careful. That doesn't always mean that you're going to be bubbling over. But what it means is it's the Spirit of truth, and that it'll convict you when you sin, and that it'll be there as a shoulder to lean on. It'll be there to lead you and to guide you. It doesn't always mean you're going to be bubbling over. But my friend, it's the Spirit of God. There comes a time where you're just either going to have to take it, what God's given you, and you're going to have to receive His Word. They that gladly received His Word were baptized. Well, how do you know, preacher? The Philippian jailer, it happened to him. He had thrust Paul and Silas into prison, heard them singing at midnight praises unto the God that saved them, went in trembling, fell down. That was the conviction. That was the repentance. He said, "Sirs, what must I do?" And you know what they said? They said, "You must believe, and thou shalt be saved." See, it's not an easy way, but it's a way of belief and faith. And until you believe, you'll never be satisfied with salvation. Till you believe, you'll never be saved. So how do you know? You know because it changes you. What did that Philippian jailer do? He had thrust him in, and then once he believed, he drew him out, and he began to wash their stripes. How do you know? There'll be a Spirit that'll exalt the Lord and Savior. How do you know? Because from the night that I stood up at that altar and there was a Spirit, and Satan would say to me, "You just got up too fast and got dizzy." You know how that happens? So you just get up and you get dizzy. That's what he's trying to convince me before in my life. But how do you know? It's because there's a desire to serve the living God. And there's a desire to exalt that one that was crucified and rose from the dead. The natural part of man would not have that desire. Let me just be honest with you. I can't tell you you've been born again. I can't tell you that you've been saved. But I can tell you of a certain the natural man would not rejoice in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can't do it. You can't, not that just you wouldn't do it. You cannot do it. For the things are contrary one to another. There must be a moment. God has dealt with my heart. Satan has assaulted my faith. I hear other testimonies, and I think, man, what a testimony. I wish mine was, we talked about that in Sunday school, the potter and the clay. Had Brother Benny talking, "I wish I could do this." But let me tell you this much, mine's not like yours. I don't mean it ain't real. I don't mean God lied to me one night. I don't mean the desire I've got to serve Him is any less than yours. I'm telling you, there's going to come a day, if you ever get satisfied, you're just going to have to take Him at His word. And you're going to have to say, "Wait a minute now. If the Son of God Himself in the 6th chapter of John said, 'Whosoever believeth in me hath everlasting life.' He has already passed from death to life." In other words, you're already in possession of that life. You already have it. It's not something that you're going to get when you depart from this life, but He said you have it already. And you've already passed from death to life.
Amen.
He said it in John chapter number 11. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Listen, it's not an easy, I'm not trying to preach an easy road, but I am preaching to you the words of the Lord and Savior, that you must believe that He rose from the dead. Those disciples even had a hard time listening. You might say, "Preacher, I'm the worst one of doubt that ever has been." His disciples, those 11 that were with Him, they doubted when Mary told them. Thomas went as far as to say, I want to believe you. I want so bad to believe you. But except I see with mine eyes the print of his nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And let me tell you this right now. There are some of you that have been saved. I believe it with all my heart. And you want to believe it so bad. But you can't. For some reason or another, you just can't take him at his word. For some reason or another, you just can't take what he's done for you and run with it. And Thomas said, I can't. I want to, but I just can't do it. Let me tell you what happened. About 7 days went by, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to where Thomas was. And he said, Thomas, Thomas didn't have to say a word. They were gathered together, and Thomas didn't have to say a word. Thomas just stood there and beheld, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, Thomas, here I am. And the others have already believed. But he said, Thomas, if you just look at my hands and look at the nail prints, and if you must, thrust your hand into my side. And Thomas fell down. And he cried, my Lord and my God. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, he didn't lie to Thomas, but he knew what it would take for Thomas to believe. He said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. But he said, more blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. That's me. That's me. I wasn't there when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, I believe, got right with God. It was a progression, because at first he tried to figure it out in his own mind. In chapter 3, many of you have tried to figure it out in your own mind whether you're saved. And Nicodemus said, how can a man enter into the womb and be born a second time? You get on to about the middle of John, and Nicodemus stands up for Jesus. He that had came to him in secret by night came to the place where the Pharisees were going to arrest him. And Nicodemus said, now wait a minute. We don't need to arrest this man. He's not broken any law. He stood up for him. By the end of the book of John, and Nicodemus was there with Joseph taking the body of Jesus down. I believe he loved him. Amen. I believe he found peace. I believe he found what he's looking for. I didn't mean to preach that long, but I'll leave you with this. There comes a moment you're going to have to just decide, do I believe? Do I believe? When the apostles left, listen, there are times, I'll be real honest with you, the cross has got so heavy that if it wasn't real, it would have been easy just to pack up and leave. As a preacher, as a man of God, there have been times people have stood against me. When I really feel in my heart I was trying to do the right thing and preach a true gospel. And people have stood for me and people have stood against me. And there have been times, if it hadn't have been real, it would have been real easy just to pack up and leave. And that's what happened to a lot of people that followed Jesus. They didn't really have it. They didn't really believe. But when that time came, he said unto the 12, what about you? Are you also going to go away? And Peter said, where else shall we go? Where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go? You're either going to have to believe his word. Where else are you going to go? There is nowhere else to go. Those that received his word, that he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. Where else can you go? Because that's the man that God hath ordained to judge the living and the dead at his appearing. And I got news, church. I believe that day is swiftly coming. I believe the Antichrist is alive on this earth. Preacher, you don't know that? No, I don't. But according to the Word of God, we are living in those times. Where else are you going to turn? Will you also go away? There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus. They went to find the body. They found an empty tomb. Have you been saved? Have you repented? As I said, I repented. I thought, Lord, and I was disappointed. What else could I have done? I didn't know what else to do. I just didn't feel like there was a reason to pray. But I really didn't have peace. But when I stood up, it was like that was all that was required of me. I'm telling you, you just receive His Word. I don't mean to make that sound like an easy way. But I do mean it to sound a simple way. He wouldn't devise a means of salvation that would be so complicated. As Chuck talked about in Sunday school, that a little child could not receive His Word. He wouldn't devise a means of salvation that it would take a rocket scientist. He devised a means that whosoever believeth shall be saved. Aren't you thankful for that gospel? Come ahead and get your song, brother. Have you received His Word? Have you repented? It takes repentance. Don't misunderstand me. It does take repentance. Well, what is repentance? Repentance is nothing more than realizing you're a guilty sinner in need of a Savior, turning away from self, turning unto God, and receiving His Word. And He'll grant you that measure of faith. But there comes a time, what Paul said, you just got to lay hold on eternal life. Just lay hold of it and grasp it. Go ahead, brother. God bless you.